Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 27th on the West Coast, now August the 28th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. If you're listening to us on Wind Talkers Radio Network or BlogTalkRadio.com, we would like to thank you for tuning in and carrying this show as well. If you're one of the many broadcasters around the world that are finding this show to be one of a source of major truth and the only truth. We've had a lot of really crazy things going on recently, some of which I've touched upon the last couple of nights, and we're just waiting for things to kind of pan out. But I can tell you, people are abuzz with what took place over Ohio a couple of days ago, and we're going to bring you more information as we get it in the future. Rest assured of that. Well, rather than go into any particular news item, because I don't particularly care to dwell on the propaganda as the opening to my show. I'm going to bring tonight's guest right on board. He has his own radio show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. He's heard around the world. Specifically, he's talking to his comrades in the U.S. Marine Corps and other branches of the military around the world. But he's also gotten a lot of people, regular folks like me and you and those of us who are truth seekers listening to his show. He is dynamite in a package, let's say. The fuse is lit, and he can explode at any time. He has his own show, A Marine's Disquisition, former U.S. Marine Corps member from 1967 through 1977. Drew Malone Reigns III. Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, sir. And I want to let the audience know that I was resigned in 1977 of my own volition. I was literally flown to Washington, D.C. to meet with people at Headquarters Marine Corps, Henderson Hall, who asked me to stay in. I had been working specifically with a number of civilian organizations in California, and I did not have to stay in the Corps. I would have liked to have stayed, but ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, when you find out what the truth is, and the truth at the top of the echelon in the military is entrapped with a lot of fraud, you find that the honor of the men that you're supposed to be working under, and the backstabbing that goes on, in special units, I could not stay in the Corps. I had to leave. I was appalled at the number of times that I discovered in my own investigations of, higher commands, taking, revenge on lower-ranking personnel. I mean lower-ranking personnel. I mean from the rank of lieutenant colonel all the way down to privates. And the biggest problem that I had in the military when I left was the fact that I cried when I left, because I loved the Marine Corps, and I love the Marine Corps today. I love the Marines out there. But when they get to the rank of full-bird colonel, we start weeding them out to the point about one out of one out of 50 are retained their respect for why they are in the Corps, and that is loyalty above all else.
Yes, I hear you.
To the Constitution, to the people of America, except honor to God is first. Semper Fi means always faithful to our brothers in the military, first to our fellow Marines, and then it just mushrooms out. We have respect for the Corps, we have respect for the military, and at the present time I am, as Don says, a nitroglycerin in a package. I'm 6 foot two, and you don't want to meet me in a dark alley. It will tell you right up front, you're going to run into some full-grade military plastic. I don't carry a bunch of knives, and I can't twiddle them like V, but I can definitely give you a heart attack in the making in a dark alley like in the movie V for Vendetta. And I'm not afraid to die. And this is one of the things, and I'll tell you right up front. Now, before I go further, Don, you made alluded to the fact that I am nitroglycerin in a package. Well, I got news for you. I'm discovering that we have highly decorated military men sitting in prisons in New York, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. And what's their job? Why are they in prison? Over 1,000 has been reported to me. Now, I have not got documented, confirmed evidence of anybody specific. But I'm watching military personnel from that are located in 4 prisons in New York. I just got the email 20 minutes before showtime that 250 men, American military, force recon, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Army Green Berets, and Navy SEAL, I said Navy SEALs, and special forces from the Air Force are locked up because they have evidence of something so atrocious, so evil, that they're not allowed to walk amongst us. And these 250 men at these 4 prisons are supposed to be transferred to Fort Benning and Fort Bragg, Georgia. Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Fort Benning, Georgia. I have been on the internet doing my dastardly deed to see how many prisoners can be housed at both of those locations, and neither base will give me the data. Fort Bragg, North Carolina, is basically where the CIA trains and goes through their training. Marine Corps has a special unit in Quantico, Virginia, that also trains the CIA, but the CIA that goes through the training at Quantico, Virginia, are extreme professionalists that are on the far end of the spectrum of training. You talk about sniper training, you talk about combat training where you're taught to kill with a pencil and a piece of paper. And I don't mean handwriting on the wall. I'm talking about literally taking a pencil and being able to kill 4 or 5 people. I'm talking about rolling up a piece of paper and literally killing somebody with it. And this is not the time or the place to go into a show to tell you that, yes, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need a gun to kill somebody. Fort Bragg is the home of the Airborne Rangers, the Special Operation Forces. It is also the home of the 18th Airborne Corps, the 82nd Airborne Division, and Special Operations Command of the United States Army Parachute Team, known as the Golden Knights. All of them call Fort Bragg their home, and it's right down the road, or right close to the road, of the United States Marine Corps training facilities there at Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of Camp Lejeune. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I did not come on this show prepared to do a show about what I'm talking about. I am pleading with the overnight crowd, the truck drivers who are driving up and down the highways, that are looking for something on a radio dial, that are tuning through and they're not listening to Art Bell's show, the George Norrie show on Coast to Coast. They're looking for some alternative to truth out there. And if you're tuned into this show, you're listening to a United States Marine decorated Vietnam Cambodian vet, and I'm not going to go quietly in the night. I want to know what the truth is out there, and I'm tired of the lies and innuendos that are being shoved at my posterior, and it's about time we started getting together and say, sir, no, sir, I've had enough. I'm sticking my head out the window, and I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, and I hope many of you drivers out there are doing the same thing. You've had enough of all of this BS going on with the trucking associations, with the FTC, the weight and measures commands around the United States. You are traveling onto these military bases with food, with ammunition. Those of you that work for Tri-State Trucking, you are hauling 90% of the military ammunition in America. Let me know. I'm not hard to find. My name is Drew Malone Reyes III. You can type it in an email, a browser, and I'm all over the place. My website, the 3Ws, amd.elequity.com, is available. My private email is Drew Reyes, R-A-I-N-E-S, Drew, D-R-E-W, DrewReyes@yahoo.com. And those of you that are overseas, you might find it easier to get in touch with me at 110SoldierUSMC@yahoo.com. because that's a registered email through the United Kingdom and Australia Yahoo websites. So give you a heads up on what those emails are. I'm mad. I'm burning mad. And I want to know what's going on out there around these military bases around the United States. And are they housing decorated military men from the Recon and Navy SEALs as well as the Rangers? Are they being housed in prisons because they've uncovered something that the government of George W. Bush and Barack Hussein Obama, these tyrants in office, want to hide? And this, from what I've been told, it may go back as far as William Jefferson Clinton, and it specifically involves some activities that George Herbert Walker Bush was involved in. Now, I don't know how deep this rabbit hole is, but I will be giving my personal friend, Don Nikoloff, some information later. He's got the fork. I've got the knife. And we're going to slice and dice this beef out here, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way I look at it. I'm sorry to ramble on there, Don.
No, I was going to just say, Drew, thanks for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, I come on and you call me up and say, Drew, you want to do a lively show?
No. Well, was I right, folks? I sensed in my spirit that you had something to say tonight, and boy, are you saying it. Now, I want to point out to the listening audience, do you think it's I want to ask this rhetorical question, Drew. Do you think it's a coincidence that Dr. Jeffrey McDonald, who has been in prison for some 30 years for the alleged murder of his wife and children when he himself was beaten over the head, clubbed over the head, and stabbed 17 times, and then exonerated in a military tribunal, and then 9 years later prosecuted for this murder, with all the evidence kept out. This occurred at Fort Bragg. Do you think that is an accident?
Are you kidding? I heard the show, man. I've investigated that from day one. You're talking about Dr. Kimball all over again.
Yeah.
And it was fabrication from the beginning, and I am amazed that we have very few men in the Federal Bureau of Investigation that have any honor. I really am.
Yeah. You're speaking about some very dark things. Have you had any information, or is it maybe, you know, too soon?
I can't discuss it. I cannot discuss what I have.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. But I'm sure it's pretty mind blowing, based on some of the things that I've found. So, that was your first rant. Now,
I'm not through with the first rant.
Oh.
I want to let you know that this is going on in Kuwait, where there are former military troops. I shouldn't say former. There are military troops being held in and sequestered in housing, base housing, not able to go anywhere except to the commissary and to the chow hall under guard. They're not allowed to have weapons. And their tour of duty has been extended from 12 months to 18 months, which is unheard of in the United States Marine Corps, because the Marine Corps now is on a rotation basis of 7 months.
Hmm.
So with all of that said, I'm afraid that we've got some men in power that are doing something behind the scene to the American heroes that have been protecting this nation from attacks, and they don't want to know. Now, those of you that think, well, you mentioned all the services but the Air Force, I got news for you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of high-ranking officers of the United States Air Force fighter squadrons, decorated men who have combat training or combat experience in Gulf War I and Gulf War II and Afghanistan. And two men actually are the direct descendants of the most decorated Air Force fighter pilots of the Vietnam War. Now, they're being incarcerated and held under lock and key, and they're not locked up in a jail like you and I would know a jail. They're locked up basically on house arrest, where they've got guards on their doors, and they're escorted to the chow hall 30 minutes before the chow hall opens to eat, and escorted back to their barracks. And they have their barracks are fine. They got all the comfies of home with television and internet, but they can't send emails. They can't access email service, any email service. They can read stuff off the internet. They've got music to play, etc. And what bothers me here is these pilots. These active duty pilots, some of the best pilots the United States Air Force has, are incarcerated because they are known witnesses to what something has been going on in our skies around the United States of America. And they discussed it with their COs. Their tape recordings have been, their flight recorders have been polished. Polished means wiped clean. They have been placed in sequestered areas, away from their wives, away from their families, i.e. the two of them are bachelors, and they haven't seen their parents or sisters or brothers in over a year. And I understand that this has been going on for a period of 5 or 6 years. What's going on out here, America? We got too many secrets. It's time to get off the bucket, kick it down the hallway, and let's start taking names and taking America back. It's time to take America back. I'm tired of all these Illuminatis. I'm tired of all these lies. I'm tired of honoring a pedophile and a murderer. And those of you that don't know who I'm talking about, his name is Theodore Ted Kennedy, who's being laid to rest, and everybody's out there drooling over the fact that he died. The man was a pedophile. The man was a murderer. The man was a cheat. Do you think he cares about you? You think, oh, he helped the downtrodden. I got news for you. The man's a multi-billionaire. Do you think he left any money to the poor? I got news for you. You're smoking something, and it ain't even a left-handed cigarette. You can smell it from the beaches of Texas. And it smells like cow manure, and it ain't longhorn steer cattle. You can tell I'm upset.
What a description, too. I kind of got the idea. Wow. Well, you're fired up.
You don't have to use curse words to get the truth out.
Yeah,
when
I know.
A person's mad.
Yeah, I understand. Drew, how come it's taken so long for this information to come out? Is it because people are fearful, or has it just been something that they've just now learned is going on? Can you expand on that at all, or is that...
I didn't know anything about it until 3 days ago. Let's see, what's today, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, today's Thursday. I got my first inkling on Monday. I got an email from a lady... Let's see where she's from. from Arizona. And I got it tonight. It was sent today at 1:53 p.m. and it arrived at my email box at 9:53, just an hour before showtime.
Well, we know. Yeah,
she discusses the fact that her boyfriend, I quote, "I am marrying a high ranking Navy SEAL and decorated with many medals. I have one big problem. Obama and Napolitano have him and many of his fellow Navy SEALs, Navy Marine Recon officers, and Army Rangers locked up for a number of months at the present time. They are locked down in 5 New York federal prisons." That is just the first part of the email. Now, she confirms an email that I got from a Marine Corps recruiter Monday, saying that he was at a prison in New York, low-level prison, not one that houses misdemeanor recipients who are in prison for their second and third misdemeanor. But in New York, they if you get 3 misdemeanors within a certain period of time, you serve a year and a day in jail. Okay? Because you under or not a year and a day, a year less a day. Under a year under 364 days, you're not eligible for parole. So he was out these prisons, and there's a lot of young New Yorkers in one of these prisons, and he was there to recruit them for the Marine Corps.
Now, what is the one thing, Drew, that all these men have in common? Or is it just men, or is it men and women?
I have no information whatsoever that there are women involved. I only have men, so that's the only common. They all have a third leg, so that's the only thing I can tell you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll be finding out more about this.
Oh, as I get into it, I'll let you know. I mean, I'll be harping on it on my show. I'm at full ease with myself to the point where just because I have a guest coming on the show, like I've got Don Nikoloff geared up to come every Monday, beginning the 31st of August all the way every Monday for the month of September, we're going to do the Don Nikoloff, Drew Raines Yell and Scream Show.
Well, yeah, I've been known to scream on occasion, haven't
well,
I?
Well, it's either that or we're going to roast a lot of rabbits, one of the two, okay? We'll call it the Don Nikoloff and Drew Raines Barbecue Rabbit Show. But this coming Monday, for the first 30 minutes, I've got a lady that's going to take up the first 30 minutes who is a supporter of the military, and she's going to be on my show to give support to the military and let you all know that she's there to help the military that are overseas and to give some advice for the wives of military men who are going through big-time problems here in the States, and to show that that if your husband is overseas and you're having some financial problems, her organization is there to help. And I'm going to bring her on for the first 30 minutes, and then you're going to have the last 90 minutes of Monday show so we can roast some rabbits.
Okay. You want to mention that organization now, or you want to wait until your show on Monday?
No, I don't mind. I have to go get it because I read so many. I read 300 and 400 emails a day. Emails, newspapers, and it just drives me up a tree. About my memory is not that of an 18-year-old photographic memory expert.
Yeah,
I can remember a lot that I read, but I'm like Ronald Reagan. I kind of forget things.
Trust but verify.
Trust.
Yeah.
Trust but verify. If you'll give me a minute, I'll pull some data up. It is going to be on Blog Talk. It's already posted on Blog Talk Radio as the update there. I did that update just before the show as I was doing some other rabbit hunting. So just to let you know there, and I've got all this Fort Bragg and Fort Benning, Georgia on my screen. It's driving me up a tree.
Yeah. Well, while you're looking,
and you don't have any commercial breaks, so I can't sit back and take a breath.
Well, you go ahead and do that. I'm going to share something with the listening audience while you're looking for that. Okay, I'll give you that luxury. For the listeners out there that may be interested in hearing an in-depth conversation regarding this so-called bird swine human flu pandemic that's being engineered around the world and specifically rammed down Americans' throats through the mainstream media, I'm going to be on Dr. Bill Deagle's NutraMedical report on GCNlive.com tomorrow. For those of you who are in the Eastern time zone, it's today in the afternoon of the 28th, Friday, and that's going to occur at 3 p.m. from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, and just back up an hour as you move west. We are going to be discussing some of the new things that I've discovered as to the relationships of the people who have been not only involved in this creation of these vaccinations, but the people who are involved in the bogus lawsuits. And we can say that with a fair amount of certainty. We can't find lawsuits filed by competent attorneys. You've got basically amateurs out there misrepresenting the monies they've received from people who have contributed to these suits. And there's just a host of whole other, a whole bunch of other tidbits of information that basically connect the dots and paint an entirely different picture than what's been portrayed by the mainstream media. And a certain woman claiming to be in Austria, claiming to be a journalist, claiming to really care what's happening to the world. This is another smokescreen. It's another PSYOP plan to let's say, discredit the honest information, the honest scientific information, and the forensic research that some of us have conducted in this whole fiasco.
Well, also, I want to throw my two cents on that because, number one, her lawsuit is done so succinctly that the syllogists out there have rallied around Jane Burgermeister, and she's now been uncovered for the fraudulent syllogism that she's been bringing forth. Obviously, you don't read a lot of newspapers, but I do, and I know for a fact that there has been a doctors' group, a doctors' organization, a group of doctors that have organized a lawsuit, and they're advocates, and they have placed a lawsuit on the record in the United States District Court, filed today. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, which is one of those organizations that my mother was a member of as a registered nurse. Now, that, it used to be Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and she was a member because she worked as chief of staff for the founder of the PNS Hospital in Shreveport, Louisiana. In the United States District Court, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and the Coalition for Urban Renewal, as well as the Education of America, have brought forth a lawsuit against Obama administration, suing him and the health care for fraudulent misrepresentation.
Hmm.
And that has been done today, and it's being brought forth. Now, there's a lot of hate mail out there Peter Rolf, Peter, P-E-T-E-R, Rolf, R-O-F-F, is one of the leading promoters of this lawsuit that was filed today. I got this email to tell me to read the story. It's posted in the United States, or U.S. News and World Report. Came out this afternoon at, let's see, when did they release it to me? They released it to me at 10:53 p.m. tonight.
Okay, you've had a chance to look at that document, and it's genuine.
I have not had a chance to look at the physical document, but I did go to the United States District Court and look at to the massive court system, and I did look and see that the document is filed. It is a legitimate lawsuit, and believe it or not, Barack Hussein Obama is not a defendant. The administration is, i.e. the agencies, specifically known as the AMA and the Federal Drug Administration are.
Or Food and Drug Administration.
Food and Drug Administration,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Drew, not to interrupt you, we've got a caller who's been waiting patiently for a few minutes.
You mean you actually have patient people that call?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If you call in sometime, you might see you have to learn to be patient, too. So, okay, Ron from Pennsylvania, what's on your mind?
I can't hear him.
Ron, can you speak up? And Seth, can you give us a little bit more volume? It's very low.
Yes, I can. Am I coming in any better?
Yes, that's good. All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
I might be able to shed a little bit of light on why these guys are allegedly locked up in a Stone Hotel somewhere. From three different cases I know of. Now, I cannot pinpoint these people's identities, whom I know personally for obvious reasons. Years ago, when President Kennedy was assassinated, I have a friend of mine that I know quite well, was in the Green Berets. He's not there anymore. He's out. Well, they were one of President Kennedy's hand-picked guys, and they were stationed down at D.C. As soon as it was known that President Kennedy was assassinated, those guys knew exactly what was going on. So the cadre went to the barracks, locked him in, disarmed him, and had him cool down for about 2 weeks because these guys were going to overthrow the illegitimate government of the United States. So they know how these guys felt, and they were very loyal to Kennedy. Well, after things cooled down, they eventually got out and so forth. Case number two, and I'm going to sum something up after these two very quickly. I know another fellow...
So wait a minute, hold it, Ron. I want to give you kudos because this Marine knows that had happened. I was still in high school when it went down.
But when I went into the
division of the Marine Corps, I was told about that story 10 years after it happened. And was advised that there was a group of high-ranking enlisted officers that Kennedy had chosen and as his personal emissaries to help him keep a rein on the military-industrial complex. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff were scared to death of these guys.
Oh, yeah. One of them's a friend of mine.
They released them over a period of 5 weeks, according to the documents that I read at the State Department. They released them over a period of 5 weeks, two and three a week.
Hmm. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Okay, I got two more cases. Now, the next fellow I know is a Navy SEAL. Now, I can't tell you what he does because that would pinpoint possibly who he is, and I can't have that. But I know his family. And he had mentioned that, without specifics, he's getting a little bit disgusted about the way things were going within the Navy, and I pretty much know what he's talking about. Case number three is another guy in the Green Berets that's still in, and I can't give you his rank because he might be pinpointed as well. He's getting fed up with what's going on, but he has enough of time, and he's going to probably put in his 20 and go. Now, these guys are in a position to think for themselves. You'll find that a lot of special ops, PJs, Green Berets, so on and so forth, recons and all that, they're not necessarily taught to go along with everything. They have to think for themselves. That's how you live longer. Now, they wouldn't possibly be in a position to go ahead and take care of elements within the own military. Now, they're not going to come and fight our battles for us in the civilian sector. We're going to have to take care of business out here ourselves. But they don't want
Amen.
Those guys in there. If those guys know something's going down, they're going to be stepped on. And if they are locked up, that's probably a good reason they have an idea to believe these guys just don't want to be the spark that's lit. And this is just my opinion. I don't know if I'm right, but I don't think I'm terribly wrong either. What's mm-hmm. your opinion on that?
I think you're pretty darn close, Ron. I really do.
Well, I hope I'm not, but I think I might be.
Well, I hate to give you the impression, but I'm going to give you a quote from Colorado Owl. It's time for this illegal government to answer to the American people.
That's right.
Well, all the way across the board. There is not one iota of what's going on that laws are not being broken. And the corruption. I heard Drew's show today with Bob Chapman. Straight out of his mouth was the corruption is just incredible. You can't imagine how much corruption there is. And we get this from international reporters on economic issues and medical issues and food issues and energy resources issues, and just on and on and on and on.
And you don't want to be a microbiologist. That's about the most dangerous field to be in.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, Ron, do you have any questions or any more comments before I let you go?
No, I just wish I had some kind of a crystal ball here to predict the future, but I unfortunately don't have that, so I have nothing else. I just wanted to run a few things by you and just to see what your input was on that.
Well,
Ron, I got a suggestion for you.
Yes, sir.
There's a book out there that's a fictional book. It's called Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse. I highly recommend that you get your hands on that little paperback book and read it and pass it around to your friends, because it's got, it is a fictional book, but in all honesty, even though it was written in 1996, it's been rehashed, reprinted, and put out. I understand that the writer has got a new one coming out, same title, Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse. It's got some changes with the personnel in the story, but the little tidbits in that book give you a perspective of what we're living in right now. And what's happening around the United States, and it's about to unfold. And I think the writer has got has been blessed with some good common knowledge from God to put forth this information to warn us about what's about to happen nationwide in this once the greatest nation on the planet.
Yeah, I was going to
make that up. I'm sorry. Another question.
Just quickly, Ron, I was going to suggest keep the faith, number one. And in the end, the good guys win.
I believe so. Absolutely. Oh, I have a question. I'm sorry, when you say something came to mind. I was at a friend's house today that he's an organic gardener. He's very, very good.
Yay!
Pardon me?
Love those guys.
Yeah, those guys are pretty good. Just eating some goodies here a little while ago. And he had heard on the news today, either radio or television, and I don't have television because I'm not paying $60 a month to watch crap and slop on there. It lies anyway.
You joined Colorado Island Drew's style. We don't pay for TV either.
Well, I got the Internet, so that's good for me. But he had heard somewhere today of two outbreaks of some kind of a flu. One was allegedly on a military base somewhere, and the other was in some cloistered setting, like a small town or a school or some such thing where people would gather in some number. Now, I have not seen anything on the Internet. I can't verify this. And if this even took place, two outbreaks sort of together, even if they're separated, on two groupings of people, suggest to me either a carrier was brought in with that unknowingly, or it was a laced situation where the stuff was introduced there. Have you heard of anything today about a flu outbreak anywhere in this country?
Yes. I had a friend call me and tell me that he had heard something on CNN News this afternoon.
Well, you can believe that. You can believe that story.
Well, you know, CNN News and the Communist News Network is, you know, it puts out this information, and he said that about halfway through the news article, somebody walked in and whispered to the announcer, and they went immediately to a break, and they didn't come back and finish the story.
Hmm. And they were reporting on this pandemic or this outbreak?
No, they were reporting the outbreak of a flu a flu epidemic, and the, when he mentioned the city and the state, the audio went dead.
Oh,
the picture was still there, but the audio was dead for a good 30 seconds.
Well, somebody's going to pull that up on their TiVo and probably put it on YouTube, so we can be looking for that, I'm sure.
So, obviously, I hope somebody was watching and had definitely had their screen running. Again, I did not see it. I don't subscribe to any of that. But the CDC is in full control over to CNN, or the Communist News Network, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, Ron, thanks for calling in. I hope that answers your question.
I hope a whole bunch of guys didn't get their flu shots at one time. That would explain the outbreak.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
You don't want to get this flu shot, Ron. You stay away from
sir,
this
will
like,
not.
Like it is deep. When they say it, stay away, it's the plague. Stay away, it is the plague.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, gentlemen, I'll conclude. Thank you very much.
All right, Ron,
yes,
thanks
sir.
For calling.
God bless, Ron. Keep your powder dry. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right up front, keep your powder dry. Make sure you got ammo out there. I'll let Don give out the people that he supports. I've got supporters that I have found that have where I can find the ammo. You can listen to my show and you'll hear it. But I want to tell you, stock up where you can. And get to know the herbalist, and get to know who your organic gardeners are, and understand that we're gonna go back to an agrarian society here. Not because we want to; it's because we're gonna have to. There's not gonna be any power. Everything could go down. If you know what a Faraday cage is, I highly recommend that you get you a Faraday cage and get one set up around your basement. Around your chicken coop, and put your electronics around that, because that's gonna protect your electronics. But to be quite honest with you, if the electric grid goes down, most of your electronics are gonna go down. Period. And I ran across a new flashlight that came out the other day for about $395 over at Harbor Freight. That is an LED flashlight. LED flashlight that's extremely bright. Highly recommend that you get your hands on that, because LED lights do not use a lot of power. It uses 3 AAA batteries, and I guarantee you, the guy says on the label, he says a 10-year lifespan on 3 batteries. Well, if it's got a 10-year lifespan, that's all you're going to need. So just get that, and those of you that live in the cities, get the heck out of Dodge. Get at least 30 miles outside any major metropolitan area, minimum. And have a backup place 100 miles out, or 50, at least 50 miles away from where that 30 miles is. Because in this book, Patriots Surviving the Coming Collapse, the cities are going to go down. And ladies and gentlemen, I know you think I'm crazy. I know you think that I don't know what I'm talking about. I know that I've got family and friends out there that think I need to be flushed down the toilet. But I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be massive death around the world. It's not going to be just in the United States. It's not going to be just in North America. Y'all have no idea what it's going to be like. It's going to make the Warsaw invasion, the city of Warsaw, Poland invasion, look like somebody was throwing mud pies. The assassination of the gypsies, the Jews of World War II in 1936, 37, 38, all the way up to the end of 44, that's going to look just like an everyday happenstance. You're not going to be able to walk the streets of New York. There's going to be that many people dead. It's going to be, there is a movie out there called The Stand. There is a movie out there called Red Dawn. There is a movie out there called Shadow on the Land. There is a movie out there that right now that's going around the last few years is V for Vendetta. And in that movie, they talk about the problems in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the war, a real war, a real shoot-up, as John Wayne has said in one of his war movies, we're in the middle of a real shoot-em-up Navy war, talking about the Navy war of World War II with the Japanese, because that was really a Navy war.
Okay,
but
Drew.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a ground war, and it's coming to America. The United States has not seen a ground war in the United States since 1815 when the British were beaten at New Orleans, outside of New Orleans. We've had war like the Civil War, but the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, that war right there where 10,000 men died today, nine different battles, over 10,000 men on each side of the battle died. There is not going to be that's going to look like somebody got in a fist fight at a ball game. You're going to see hundreds of thousands of people die in the streets of major cities: New York, San Francisco, Chicago, L.A., Seattle, Denver, Las Vegas, New Orleans, Dallas, Austin, Atlanta, Miami, Tallahassee, Pensacola, major cities, Columbia, Buffalo, Newark, any city out there that's got a population of over 150,000 is going to be decimated, and they're going to feed off themselves. That's why I tell you, get a minimum of 100 miles away from major cities and have a backup place to go. But that first 3 weeks, you need to be 30 miles out. If you've got to have a job inside a city, like inside Little Rock, Arkansas, or inside Austin, Texas, get 30 miles out in the country, and that's your first line of defense. That's your staging area where you, when the manure comes across the deck and you start smelling it, you're 30 miles out and you're smelling that manure from the big city. That's when you don't go back into town. That's the time to go to that extra place that's another 40 or 50 miles away. And you better have a community of at least 7 men and 7 women, because you're going to have the talent of women that know how to cook and sew. And if you're a man and you know how to cook and sew, you're going to be very valuable, because you'll be able to pull the trigger.
Okay,
you've
got
to learn how to do that.
Drew,
I'm sorry, I
hate to interrupt you. We've got a caller, Dave in Germany. Welcome to Evident Footprint. Question or comment, Dave?
I've got kind of like something's going through my mind about numbers. See, we've kind of like got mixed up with all these numbers. You know, we count from 1 to 9, and then we say 10, but 10 is really 1 plus 0. So it's 1 plus nothing equals 1. So, like, if we work it out and we say, like, years ago we used to have crates of bottles, and they had 9 bottles in. So that equals 1 crate. So if I want 10, I'd have 1 crate plus 1. So that would equal 11. So where's the 10? See, I think what's happened is, if you put 1 down and you put loads of zeros after it, you've actually got 1. So if you had, say, like 100, it really is 1, because it's 100. See, I think it's a trick that they played on us of great magnitude, because it looks like they take the mick out of us when they say 9-11, for instance. It's like, where's the 10? And in witchcraft and all these other things, they mention that 10. And there's a few rhymes in German mentioning that there's no 10 in it. So I think maybe I might have hit on something here where they've tricked us into believing that 1 plus 0 is worth 10, when really it's 1. It's like a witch's trick that they probably played on all the money. So instead of having like 11, which would be 10, because it would be 1 crate plus one bottle. So we've got 9 bottles in one crate, which is 1 unit, and then we'd have 1 unit plus to that. Like, for instance, 44 is actually 40, because it would be 4 9s plus 4 bottles, say, for instance. It's like apples. If I've got one apple and I give it to you and then I give you no apples, I'm giving you one apple plus nothing. So I think maybe we might have been tricked there. I mean, it's driving me a little bit mad. That's why I'm taking up your time, if you don't mind, to discuss this, because I think if we can slowly manipulate all these little tricks that they've played on us, we might be able to help raise our consciousness. And about our consciousness as well, I believe that we're not actually here. I'm remotely making this body vibrate, which is communicating with you. And it's the consciousness. I feel like it's about 10 miles up or whatever, and we're all connected to the consciousness. And I think what happens is when we do when people do meditation and they do all this other stuff, they change their frequency, and that makes them easier to be manipulated by lower being frequencies that are going on. You know, the connection to consciousness. Oh, and about the sun. You know, the sun spins around really fast.
Okay, David, can I cut you off for a second here? Okay, we're touching on a lot of topics that have an appropriate time and place to be discussed on this show. We do discuss numerology and we do discuss metaphysics, but we're dealing with raw facts tonight.
Yeah.
So I want to ask
that maybe if we could convince people that the money thing is a complete lie.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. They make money out of thin air. So it doesn't matter if you're saying 1 plus 1 or a million plus a million, it all equals 0 when it comes out of thin air. It's an illusion.
Mm. Okay. But that's what I think I'm trying to... I'd like to find a way of trying to explain to the normal guy in the street that, you know, don't get into the pieces of paper so much and try and go into more like growing yourself food, which is what you really need. Or do like the money side of things.
Well,
so they tried to blow up the sun, didn't they? Because they wanted to steal the earth.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, okay.
I appreciate your call. Tonight's not tonight. Maybe tune in tomorrow when I have scientist Jim Murray on. We're going to discuss.
Yeah, all right. I'm ever so sorry.
But thanks
for
the call.
Love you guys. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, now, if you're counting shells, you're in big trouble, you know? If 10 plus 1 is 2, you know, you're getting gypped.
Big gun. Well, it's all fraud. All the money system is fraud. It's based on fraud.
Yeah.
The barter system of the old English, the barter system of old Australia, the barter system of the old Europe, especially in Mesopotamia, was far better than it is today. Even people talk about, salt used to be to be used as money, but ladies and gentlemen, salt was a commodity that was used. And granted, you would trade the salt, but salt is needed for the body. And you just can't eat raw meat or cooked meat, any kind of food and vegetables, constantly without having any salt in your food. You've got to have some natural salt in your food occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you this is one of the things that's happening right now. We have you're talking about like what he was talking about with the numerology, the basis of weights and measures. Of the old Roman Empire, they actually had a stone, and in Great Britain they had a stone. The equivalent weight of the stone is America's 14 pounds, and that's why when you're talking to anybody in Great Britain and they say they weigh 10 stones, what they're telling you is they weigh 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, and they played games with those, too. I mean,
They would actually, there were criminals out there, fraudulent people that would take a stone that was supposed to weigh the proper amount that came from the king, and they would take that stone and they would hone out some of it to make the stone lighter, and then they would have other stones that they would take, they would hone out and put lead in to make the stone heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And those fraud's been going on. This fraud in government is not new.
No,
period. Now, I want to get back to my discussion here about what's going on. I did find the lady's name that's coming on my show Monday. Before we totally forget about her. Her name is Donna Weatherford. I'm sorry, not Donna Weatherford. I'm sorry, I was giving out the wrong name. That's not her name. Now, what did I do with her name? Dadgummit, I had it. I had her name, and I lost it.
All right, well.
Oh, God. Oh, here it is. Beth Van House. Beth Van House, okay? I get almost right now, I've had 200 emails since 6 p.m., okay? So Beth Ann Van House is the founder of Home Sweet Home campaign. She and Mary Ann Ponder would have been great friends, man. I want to tell you.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to hearing from her on that.
So, I want to get back to we had the caller before last was Ron.
Yeah, that was Ron in Pennsylvania.
Now, Ron, I'm going to give you some extra advice out here, guy. There's a book on the shelves, a paperback. If you find it probably at Amazon or Books a Million or one of the other book clubs out there, it's called Crisis Preparedness Handbook. It's not very thick. It's about, I would say, maybe an inch. It's got 315 pages in it. Of hard hitting information of things that you need to have knowledge of on how to cook and store foods, how to can foods, where to store foods in the wintertime, basic information on tearing down a pistol or a rifle, the basics, how to clean your weapons, how to keep your foods away from all the critters. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you, you have no idea. You think this isn't coming, or you think that when it comes, all I got to do is just no big deal. I just turn the lights on. I got news for you. If there's no power, there's no gasoline coming out of no gasoline pump. There's no grocery store that's going to be open. Forget going to the barber shop. Think about it. If the power grid goes down, think about what you can do. You're going to have gasoline in your car. How long is it going to be lasting? Right here in the state of Arkansas, last winter, in the north central section of the state, they had an ice storm in the rural areas. And they had no power for 3 weeks. And it was it got to the point where the sheriff department was escorting fire trucks around rural areas, and the fire trucks were taking water, and the sheriff's department was escorting fuel trucks to put fuel in people's whatever they could buy fuel with. A lot of people couldn't buy anything. They wrote out IOUs because there was no banks to get money out of, no grocery stores to buy food. Food in grocery stores went wanting. It was spoiled within 3 days. Raw vegetables, that is. Raw foods. You have no clue of the devastation. Just live through an ice storm where you have no power for a week or 10 days. And then you'll get a good idea on what it means to go outside and chop some wood for a wood-burning fireplace, if you're fortunate enough to have one. And if you think you can stick burning logs in your oven in your modern stove, I got another thing coming. You're going to burn your house down. We've had three or four of those burned down last winter. I have an old fashioned potbelly stove that I got from a friend of mine that literally runs on burning wood or whatever I want to put in there to burn. Now you've got to learn how to live the way your great grandfathers lived out there. Those of you that are under 50, if you're over 50, you're gonna have to live how your grandfathers lived. Guarantee it. It's coming. And this book that I'm promoting for Ron is a Crisis Preparedness Handbook. It's a comprehensive guide to home storage and physical survival. And those of you that have enough ammunition, you think you got enough, make more. And if you don't know how to make ammunition, you better get you a reloader and some primer caps and stock them up, because they're not, they're coming to take your guns, but when this all comes down, Don, when all this comes about, this nation goes to a physical collapse, the only people that are going to have guns are police and military, and those of us out here that believe in the Second Amendment. And those of us that, most of us that live, that believe in the Second Amendment, we don't live in big cities. We live in the country. You have no clue, ladies and gentlemen, that about the gangs, especially the Mexican gangs. And I'm not talking about any special Mexican gang group. I'm talking about the run-of-the-mill, a bunch of Mexicans that are moved into an apartment complex, and they gang up together, and they say, well, you know, I've noticed what the police, how the police come in and get fuel over here at the impound yard, and we can go down here and rob these stores because the police can't get there if they're running out of gas. Well, that's exactly what's happening. That's why banks close when there's ice on the roads, because cops can't get out to the banks if the banks are being robbed. Stop and think about it. It doesn't take rocket science to realize how bad it's going to be. There's a movie out there that Charlton Heston played in, where he was the only man in the city of New York. You remember the name of that movie, Don?
I just had a message come through, so restate your question again so I can...
I know, I'm putting you to sleep.
No, you're not. Just at that moment when you asked me that question, I had an important message pop up, so... You know how that
is. I get those. I get those all the time. Okay. people always interrupting me. I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one out there.
Are you referring to the movie Escape from New York? Is that the one you're talking about?
No. That's not a Charlton Heston movie.
Oh. I didn't know you said Charlton Heston.
Yeah, I said Charlton Heston movies. He played, and there was another one out there called, Soylent Green. We're going to get into Soylent Green, ladies and gentlemen. I guarantee you that's coming. But Charlton Heston played in a movie, back in the 19... I guess it was probably in the late 70s, where he was in New York as... I would say he was the last man in New York, and it was the city of New York, or the city of the United States, had been devastated because of what? A flu pandemic. And he was the last man in New York, and they made a sequel with the black actor here just in the last 10 years, and the movie he played in is, I cannot, or for the life of me, I cannot think of the name of that movie.
Hmm. Well, I'm at a loss right now, but
I know that it was made before the movie Earthquake he did in 1974, and I thought it was made after Soylent Green, and Soylent Green was made in 73, but I remember the Omega Man. It was Omega Man.
Okay.
The Omega Man with Robert Neville. It was made where he was he lived through and at night all of the underground people came out because they couldn't live in the sunlight.
Mhm.
Their eyes couldn't take the sunlight. And at the end of the movie, he died, he's saving the lives of about 10 or 12 kids, but he was a microbiologist in this movie.
Hmm.
Funny stories. You know, we're talking about a movie that was 38 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and Anthony Zerbe played in that movie. You know who Anthony Zerbe is, don't
you? Yeah, yeah. You know, H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells was...
Yeah, H.G. Wells wrote the book, The Omega Man. It was his book.
Well, that's not what I was going to say, but H.G. Wells was a Satanist himself, and his writings were basically just putting out what the plans of all these secret societies was. And, you know, you've got masonry behind that. You've got a ton of satanic groups. Skull and Bones is part of that, and you know it's social engineering is the best way you could describe it, or otherwise known as communism. There's not really any difference. They put labels on all these groups and on their agendas, but it boils down to pure evil. That's all you could say. Organized crime.
I just got a pop up from Betty in Southern California. He says, "Do you ever get any sleep?"
Is that for you or me?
That was for me. She's asking me if I ever get any sleep. I do. Drew, you're doing two radio shows a day. You do the news and views at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's 4 a.m. in the morning out here in California when I get your news and views, and I call you when I get up, and you're always out and about. You do a radio show in the afternoon, and here you are doing a radio show, and it's going on 11:15.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's telling me, underneath all of this, she says, the name of the movie is The Omega Man. It came out in 1971. It was set in New York 2 years after a biological warfare in the United States wiped out the entire population of the planet because of an experimental vaccine that was supposed to stop a pandemic. Does that sound like what's going on today?
Well, yeah, it's like the lone gunman that came out some months before 9/11, and the plot of the movie was they were going to deal with a terrorist attack flying airplanes into buildings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the PSYOP, anyway.
Then we go back to these Marines and Navy SEALs and people, you know, you think I'm all over the board, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not all over the board. What do these Navy SEALs and these Marines and Green Beret and Rangers know? What do these flyboys know? What are they witnessing out here? I've not seen a chemtrail in Arkansas since last Thursday. But something drastic happened day before yesterday in Ohio, where the reports from eyewitnesses, including Don Nikoloff, looked at the sky, and the sky looked like a Chinese checkerboard with nothing but chemtrails. And they weren't flying four or five planes. They were flying 30 and 40 planes, according to a friend of mine that lives in just outside of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I.
So what was going on in the sky up there? We have got the most beautiful skyline for the last 4 days here in 5 days now in Little Rock, Arkansas. I've not seen the first chemtrail.
Yeah. Now, I got a message here children are being vaccinated at a local children's hospital. This is in Ohio where this is occurring. And there's a comment after that. Sad, very sad. This is the type of information that's coming out. Now, you know, you have to ask yourself, why are these children being vaccinated? I can understand if they're in a hospital, vaccinate them against the hospital. They're going to catch something in the hospital. Those places are filthy. But we're not trying to spread fear here. We're bringing the truth the best we know it. We're telling people to be prepared. The worst that can happen is nothing happens, and you're prepared. Okay, you're still prepared. You'll have a storehouse of food, and you'll be able to protect yourself.
But ladies and gentlemen, those of you that think Don Nikoloff and Drew Raines are a bunch of out of this world people that just blowing smoke, Don, I'm asking permission. Can I play a little clip for you?
Sure. Just make sure the audio's up enough that we can hear it. Okay.
All right. Well, what we'll do is I've got a little clip, ladies and gentlemen, from my radio show. That was used, when was it used? When did I use this clip? I think it was used yesterday, and it basically is information from a town hall meeting up in Washington State.
Oh, I know that clip. Yeah, go ahead. You definitely are encouraged.
And like you, I didn't swear an oath to defend my country and domestic. And I'm from Camas. My name is David, and I'm from Camas, Washington.
Hi, David.
And first of all, I want to let everybody know, since this is the thing tonight, that I'm a Marine Corps vet.
Thank you.
And like you, I did swear an oath to defend my Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I heard you say tonight about educating our children, indoctrinating our children, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I just say indoctrinating.
Stay away from my kids. I also heard you say that you're going to let us keep our health insurance. Well, thank you. It's not your right to decide whether or not I keep my current plan or not. So my decision. I've heard recently the media, you and some other people on the national political stage call us brown shirts because we have
both. No, I did not. What I said was, and I've apologized for it.
Okay, well, thanks for apologizing, but I won't speak to you. But I'll remind you, a little history lesson. The Nazis did not, the Nazis were the National Socialist Party. They were left wing. They took over the finance. They took over the car industry. They took over health care in that country. And Nancy Pelosi wants to find maybe the first place she should look is the sleeve of her own arm. Now, what I want to know is, you've done a lot of things that violate your constitutional rights, as you know. What I want to know is, as a Marine, as a disabled veteran that served this country, I have kept my oath. Do you ever intend to keep yours?
And notice that there was
no... All right, guys.
There was no response.
Does that make you feel like being proud to be a Marine? That's all my Marines around the world. Semper Fi. Loyalty above all else, except honor to God. I thought you'd like that part.
Yes. Now, I started speaking over the end. I thought you were going to stop that. I didn't realize you had put a voiceover at the end.
Yeah, I had a voiceover in the end of that.
Now you notice that was for those that are wondering, that was Congressman Brian Baird being addressed by this Marine.
He wasn't being addressed. He was being dressed down.
Well, yes, but you know, okay, dressed down. And you notice when he accused him of calling us brown shirts, he said, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. And then he said, I apologize.
He apologized.
Then he apologized. What did he apologize for?
Because he did call us brown shirts. He did call us brown shirts. And the audience knew it. That's what they were booing about, because many of them wanted to know it. And it was played on a local talk show just an hour before this meeting, town hall meeting.
There you have an example, folks, of how our representatives in Washington, D.C. lie in 1 second and then turn around and lie in the next second.
And he got caught. He got caught in the lie on the brown shirts because he said it on the congressional floor, and it was caught on C-SPAN, and it was played by by a local talk radio show up there, and it infuriated the local people.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, kudos to that Marine. I forget his name. That video is on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It's called Town Hall Meeting with U.S. Congressman Brian Baird on YouTube.
Yes, yes, and I'm glad you played that. That's That's
See, I have a little more control when I play it because I can boost the volume up at my end. When Larissa plays it out of Sochi, Russia, she puts it for her radio station, and sometimes she can't boost the signal up loud enough for the show.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a chat message here. Seth fielded a call. Rodney in South Carolina says that South Carolina has been, well, I don't know that Rodney's in South Carolina. Let's just put it this way. Rodney says that South Carolina has been chemtrailed in the wallet. We'll say it that way, okay? And I could tell you, in Ohio, we had a good 6 weeks with no chemtrails, and this incident that occurred 2 days ago that I reported both Tuesday and Wednesday night in my introduction of both shows, first what I saw, and then a follow-up report for my sources as to what was going on. And I was right about what was going on, and I have to tell you, on a level, Drew, the people in this state knew something very unusual was occurring above our skies. And this is important. You see, these things that they're doing to us with the economy and with our food, they've been doing for many, many years. This is not new. But the recent rash of what they're throwing at us and the rapidity of how they're doing it signals that there's something very, very unusual that's about to break. And they've been hiding this for years. We can say specifically they've been hiding it since 1947, although there have been instances even back in 1899, and you can go back thousands of years. It's recorded in history. And anybody that's got half a point IQ can figure out what I'm talking about. That's a whole topic for another show. But there are so many things going on right now on this planet. And really, this is an exciting time to be alive. If you're alive for the purpose of getting to the truth and bringing this earth back to the state that it was in when God first created it, it's going to take a hell of a long time to do that. But the first thing that we have to do is acknowledge the corruption and take responsibility for it and quit pretending like it's not happening. It's not going to go away. You will go away. The problem is not going to go away unless we address all these issues. And there are just tons of them. We've only scratched the surface tonight, haven't we, Drew?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I could do a four-hour show by myself, upset, every day, Monday through Friday, twice a day. That's the scratching the surface. We haven't even gone over there and got the pin needle out of the hole yet to scratch the surface.
Yes, that's true. Well, Drew, we're out of time. I want to thank you for
being... I got plenty of time. I don't know why you're out of time. I got time. God gave me 24 hours a day. You're always saying you're out of time. Man, I need to pray for you a little bit.
That I get more time, you mean?
your time. I have to worry about you and your time. I don't even wear a watch anymore. God gave me 24 hours a day. I know that the sun comes up and the sun goes down. And what infuriates me is every once in a while somebody tells me that we got to set the clock back. Well, the cows don't know what time of day it is. They know when the sun comes up. The chickens don't know what time of day it is. They know when it's the sun comes up. They don't have to be told that, well, we need to put more hours in the so we can have more time in the afternoon to do things. Well, that's a bunch of poppycock. Why don't you just set the timepiece back and just say, okay, we're going to run on daylight saving time from now on and move the clock back. We don't need this BS. I'm sorry.
Well, it's all about control, you know. It's all about capitalizing on daylight and having us act as automatons. That's really what it is.
By the way, I got an IM from a former Marine over in North Kakalaki, and he says that over 600,000 people have looked at the Marine who has dressed down the congressman.
Well, there you go. And there'll be more after tonight.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot more. And they don't want to see me out there because I'm already ready to dress down two or three congressmen.
And you know what? That message was so so simple and so truthful and so honest, you couldn't escape the truth that was coming out of that Marine's mouth.
It reminded me of where I dressed down the city, the Board of Supervisors here in Little Rock, a number of years ago, where they were trying to institute a big tax here, and there was a large group of people back in 1998 to meet down at the City Hall. That they actually the City Hall arena only seats 200, and it was standing room only with people outside in the hallways. And the fire marshal came in and had a number of people move out. But I was able to do my little speech, and when I walked out, I thought I had moved to Hollywood, because everybody was asking for autographs. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or give kudos to me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm nobody. I'm just a mud Marine, but I've got the guts to stand up and say I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's what you've got to do. Just think about what you say. Say it from the heart. Tell the truth. You've only got two things out there, ladies and gentlemen, your honor and your word. Everything else is immaterial. These cars, these houses, all of these furnitures, those 200 pairs of shoes, it's just stuff. You know, I don't care how much stuff you have. I don't care if you've got a 28,000 square foot home. It's just stuff. How are you helping the common man out here? How are you helping your fellow human being? How are you honoring those that have given you liberty and freedom? And you need to understand that there is a difference between the two. Liberty is your right that God gave you, and freedom is a license that the government gives you. Enough?
That's enough. I'm going to repeat myself, and don't come back at me.
Mary, I got a question first. I need some help, okay? Mary Ann Ponder, get your posterior down here. We need some help on Don Nikoloff. We got to give him some more time.
Time is speeding up, Drew. All over the universe, it's speeding up, and we are soon going to be in a place where time's not going to matter anymore to us. But those that have put such a demand on humanity for thousands of years are going to really be noticing the time where they're going. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm sure you are too.
Did you send some marshmallows over to Kennedy?
Did I send marshmallows? No, I didn't.
I thought about sending a box of marshmallows over.
I'm not going to ask you why. Drew Raines, give out your website and the information on your show before we say goodnight.
My name is Drew Malone Raines III. My email address is drewraines@yahoo.com. I'm not afraid to die, and I'm not going to go quietly in the night. My website is the three W's, Alpha, Michael, Delta, Dot, Echo, Lima, Quebec, Ulysses, India, Tango, Yankee.com. That's AMD.ELEquity.com. And I do a news and views 5 days a week, guaranteed. I do supplemental news on weekends. And every two or three days, somebody will send me an email that's dynamite, and I'll do a special email on the middle of the day. My emails go out every morning. I try to get them out by 0800 hours Central Standard Time. Most of the time I get them out between 0600 and 0700 hours. The News and Views covers a minimum of 15 to 20 stories. Normally it's been running 40 to 60 because I read 300 newspapers around the world to pull out stories that aren't being normally reported, or stories that are being reported in certain parts of the country widely, but not being reported in other parts of the country, specifically stories about health and preparedness and gun ownership. stories that many of you ignore or don't know about, like the state of Montana and their right under the 10th Amendment and the right in the stories in Montana that told the government of the United States to get the heck out of Dodge. The FBI is not allowed to come in there and give out any orders on gun ownership. And in Montana, stories about the right of the Montanans to build their own weapons and possess their weapons. And you got a good taste firsthand of Obama down in Arizona with the fact that Arizonians can carry rifles around Arizona in the open and on their side with no license whatsoever. They don't need a license to have a gun in Arizona. They carry them openly. Now, in Louisiana, we used to do that in Louisiana as a little boy. I give out those stories. Telling those stories out there about Texas and a woman over in Texas who didn't feel that she didn't feel that it was worth taking her gun into a restaurant because the Texas legislator had recently passed a law preventing her to taking a gun into the restaurant, and a maniac came in and shot 33 people dead. Two of them were her mother and father. She later became a Texas legislator, and they've appealed that law. All of that happened in the 90s, but that's how far back my news and views go, to 1995. I'm easy to be found. I don't hide from anybody. And if you come by my place and you see a big black vehicle or a big white vehicle up there that's got big 4x4 on it, it's not mine. That belongs to the FBI. They come by all the time.
Okay. Well, they certainly know all the different ways they can get in touch with you. Drew, thanks for being on the show. You will be on...
Wait a minute. Was I on the show? I thought I was just talking.
You'll be on the show next month in September, guaranteed, and I'm looking forward to my visit with you on the Marines Disquisition next Monday. Thanks
a lot. And ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, every Monday... That when you get Don on my show on Mondays, he's had 48 hours to recuperate, so he's got a little fire lit under him. And if he doesn't, I got news for you. I got a match, and I guarantee you he's got some paper, and I'm going to set it on fire.
I always got a fire with me. You know that. All right, Drew, listen, you have a great end of the week here, and I'll be listening to your show tomorrow. And so will a lot of other people around the planet.
I'll send you a hearing aid.
I want you to give the shout out to your fellow Marines around the world before I say goodnight here.
To all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi!
Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Again, visit his website at amd.elequity.com, and be sure to tune into a Marines Disquisition. You can Google that, and it'll take you right there to the site. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, our callers tonight, and in our email messengers, thank you for the information you brought to the show tonight and your contribution. To our listening audience around the world, and I should remind everybody that we're also heard not just on BBSRadio.com, but on BlogTalkRadio.com and WindTalkers Radio Network around the world. We want to thank them for carrying this show as well. To you in the listening audience, I wish you a night or day filled with peace, love, and light, and for you in the States and points where it's still dark, have a good night.